Welcome to our eighth episode of Hot Topics, a fire and EMS service related podcast. My name's Ken Clark, and I'm a retired fire chief from Hopkins and Mass. And we're just sharing with you fire and EMS service related experiences of current and retired personnel on a multitude of local, regional, and national subject matter, operational items, and any other pertinent fire service related subject matter. One thing that's really important and I like to share on each episode is that we're not here to Monday morning quarterback or judge any decisions that an incident commander has made at a past fire. We'll leave that for the dinner table at the firehouse. My background is I'm a third generation firefighter for the town of Hopkinton and have worked as a fire chief for 7 years and my main occupation was in Hopkinton for 44 years. And then I also spent a little bit of time to help out the town of Upton and also help out the town of Berlin, Mass. Also some experience with hazmat, being on the state team since their inception, and as a hazmat tech, dive team, the tech rescue team, I was very blessed to be able to do a little bit of everything with that. On today, we're going to talk about some aspects of firefighter safety on the fire ground. And the fire ground is a wide use for that term. Obviously, it's when there's a fire going on in a building or some type of a thing, but it also could be, you call a fire ground or the incident scene, could be a search, it could be a serious medical that's expanded out with like a mass casualty type incident, but it's the scene that's directed by the incident commander. The incident commander is a person that we've learned since the 1970s, the ICS system, Incident Command System, was developed out of all the wildfires in Southern California in the 70s and has been brought into the whole country. It was kind of came on a way from the West Coast to the East Coast. And it's a way of having a structured response to all incidents. I know in the community I came from in Hopkinton, they use it all the way down. They establish command for a simple medical with maybe an engine company lieutenant and an ambulance crew, but they will establish command. So it's very important that everyone knows who's in charge and who has responsibility for the way the scene operates. Okay, in the incident command system, there's a single incident command system, simple one, that just fire, or if we have a significant incident, say we have an incident in a school where there's a unified command, where there might be a fire, there might be an EMS if it's not fire related, and there might be a school sector of the incident command in that unified, and also a blue team of police sector there. And they are tasked with developing the strategy for their particular responsibilities. The red team, the blue team, and the school, I use that as a good example for many years when we have those incidents, we use a unified command concept to control those. Some of the other things that includes the incident command is there's a safety officer position that's established as needed, a public information officer, and that's kind of in like the command staff if we need to work with the media. I know in some significant incidents, the media will show up very quickly at them. And so you have to be prepared to handle that with someone who has the expertise to kind of guide that incident through the media. If it's an extended incident for time, we could say, every hour on the hour, we'll do a release and update your people, and the PIO will take that. And the PIO, the public information officer, is the person who gets the information from the incident commander, the strategies that are going to be developed to use, and then shares them with the people in the community or wider regional area through the communications TV or whatever shows up at your incident. There's also some of the common ICS positions that are used on a day-to-day basis as command, safety, operations. Operations is usually the one that's second in command and helping the IC develop the offensive or defensive strategy or the strategy for whatever incident they're dealing with. Staging. Staging is where resources that are coming from outside coming in, instead of having them come in a haphazard manner, you put them in a designated staging area, which is usually a parking lot or a street someplace where you can fit the number of resources that you got coming in. And then as they're needed, they are systematically sent from the staging area to command with a specific assignment to do. There's also rehab, which is like a combined usually of EMS and rehab, and that's used hot or cold weather or at extended incidents to let the guys rest, get some, like it says, rehab. And that could be inside, it could be in an area that has AC and weather like we're dealing with today, or it could be some place with some nice heat if we're dealing with on a 5-degree day in the winter. There's also a planning section that's on extended incidents that we can establish a planning section to assist us with just moving forward. We know that on if we're in day two or three of a serious incident, they plan, oh, how's the next day going to go? And they'll get the resources needed, working with the incident commander to identify them, and they'll work to bring those resources in. Logistics is the same way. They're good for resources. And then if they're on really extended incidents, you get a finance section, which keeps track of where all the money that's being spent and the cost of bringing in specialized equipment or whatever. Okay, today, and this was near and dear to my heart when I was a deputy and when I was a chief, and I looked at, this is the way I looked at personnel safety, is if I'm sending someone into harm's way, I have to do everything within my control to make sure those people do not get hurt and everyone goes home safely at the end of the incident. And one of the things many, many years ago, probably 20 or 25 years ago, what I'm going to talk about now is an accountability board. And there's many, many different ones of these. These are ones that come in the south side of our fire district. These boards, this one is a Tactron board, and this was initiated by Chief John Toohey in Milford, like I said, 20 or 25 years ago. And it's a way that I can track personnel on a fire ground and know where everyone is. As soon as they come onto the scene, we take their accountability tags. And what they do now is they have a little Velcro, plastic with Velcro backing, okay? And when they get into the truck, and this is FireWide, and I can only speak for Fire District 14 here, and my experience with them is prior to my retiring, the towns had each had their own. Everyone had some type of a tag, and you would take it. When they got there, and the lieutenant would walk up to me and say, "Hi, Chief, Milford Engine 5 here. Here's our tags." And you would clip them on the end. Usually it was on this here, and there was a little piece put on that so that you could clip the tags on. And that I knew that I would give them a position on my board here. And I knew that the Milford Engine 5 had a lieutenant and three firefighters, and their names were all on their tags. And I knew that I had them assigned to a certain area of a fire ground, exterior or interior, or if they're interior, what second floor, Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, and give them some type of a geographic designation. And that would allow me to know where they were. If they ran into trouble, I knew where to send resources to help them. If they ran into a problem and did a mayday, which means that firefighters need help in being extricated from the building, that would be a top priority at a fire. And it stopped freelancing. Years and years ago, before the ICS system brought in this structure, companies would go in a building and do something, and then, oh, let's go to the third floor and see what's going on, or let's go to the cellar and see what's going on. Now you go in, you have an assignment, you complete that assignment, then you touch back with operations or command to find out what your next assignment will be. And they'll say, come out, or if they have to come out and replenish their SCBA bottles. Then they would come out as a group and like that. So this structure, we always know where the guys are. And they're really good about keeping to that structure. And some of the things on this one is it's really good. It's a combination of Velcro and magnets. And also what we have here, looking at this, is a run card. And all fire departments have a run card. If you hear it on the news, you hear about a two-alarm fire or a three-alarm or a four or whatever alarm fire. And this is the card that they use. And this is, what this is paper, and it's just in a plastic sleeve, okay? And they use this, and it tells them on a second alarm, on a working fire, what apparatus is coming in. So the IC can stand here at his board, whoever the IC is. This is, one came from the current Chief Doherty's vehicle. They know what apparatus is coming in. When they ask for a third alarm, they can look at this and say they know that they have a Hopedale, a Bellingham, a Framingham ladder or rescue, and that's all on this card here. They know what's coming in. They know what to expect. They have a rough idea in their mind what the travel time is going to be for them to get there so they can make their decisions moving forward in on their fire ground. So this is one that they have here, and this just attaches by the Velcro here. And one thing that they've done a little bit different in the District 14 is they've standardized the approach to the, we talked about earlier, the individual accountability tags. The whole district does the same thing now. So that makes it so much easier coming in, and everyone has the same system. So, but these little tags here, these are kept on the helmets of the firefighters when they're in the firehouse. And when they get onto their apparatus, they put these on the apparatus tag. So it would say like Hopkinton Ladder 1 or Hopkinton Engine 1, Hopkinton Engine 2, and the lieutenant's one would be there. Then whoever the firefighters are with that piece of apparatus, and then they would report into the incident commander or whoever was maybe the accountability officer, keeping track of this for the incident commander, and they would give them that little tag, and they would know that the Hopkinton ladder has four people on it, just like we talked about earlier with the Milford Engine 5 example, and these little things, and we know who's on there. And taking it one step further, they have all the firefighters issued radio communications. This is top of the line Motorola radios here. And they have a little case they put in. Some guys like to have them on the inside of their jackets. Some people like to have them on the outside of their jackets. I always wore mine on the left side, and it was just instinctive. Down, you just move your hand down right onto the either the volume button or the button that controls which channel you go on. And they're made up, given to each firefighter. And this program was started by the generosity of the community. We had two individuals come in probably 20 plus years ago and needed to, one had a very low number on the EMC personnel that had a really low number that they, employee number, and he needed to make a donation to the fire department. And the first one that we did bought the first round was the Motorola 1250s. Then we went to the 2500s, and now they've gone up to this model here. And that allowed us to give each of our firefighters their own radio, and they had the ability to put in the radio communications vendor said, oh, how do you want to do for an ID number? I said, well, what do you mean? And he said that the radios have the ability to have a number put in them, so when you press the transmit button, a number is transmitted and leads the conversation if you're going to talk on it, or if someone wasn't able to talk, but they could push the transmit button, it would come up with their accountability number. So we tied that kind of circle in with the accountability numbers that were issued to each firefighter with the radio. So if I had a unit working and I knew in a building, going back to my accountability, I knew that Dougie Lewis, his accountability number was 27. If I got 27 up on my incident commander radio, but no voice. If I just got that number, someone was keying their mic, maybe they were in trouble, hadn't got a chance to do a mayday yet, or whatever. Or if I saw that happening, I would call and ask, is everything okay in that area? If they answered yes, I would disregard it. But I knew that on my board here, this would allow me to track where the individuals are, okay? And roughly what they're doing. There's a bunch of magnets here, like that's fire attack. And I knew that Engine 1's crew, and if Dougie Lewis was one of them, I knew they were on the Division 2 on the left side of the building towards the Bravo side, okay? And they number buildings. If this was your building here, how they designate the sides, if this was the street here and this was the building, the A side would be the street side, A or Alpha. Bravo would be the left side. It goes clockwise around. The left side would be B, Bravo. The back side would be C, Charlie. You can call it the C side or Charlie, either one we know. And then the right side would be D, Delta. You could say it either way. And everyone knew what it went. If we had an exposure problem, which is and you see it when buildings are really close together, there's a short alley in between buildings, so that we knew that if this, again, looking at this here, if this was the Delta side, the first building on this side would be the D1 exposure, D2, D3, and the same with this. Across the street would be A1, behind it would be C1, and to the right would be the B1 exposure. Again, I'm covering this at 25, 30,000 feet. It's a lot more minutia when you do the training with this for our personnel, but it's like this. I'm just trying to like show you how we break down a fire ground and how there's so much structure in it. It seems like when you watch it that there's a lot of chaos, but one of the orders of a really good IC, he makes order out of that chaos by accountability, by good radio communications, and training for the personnel that they know that when they get an assignment, they do it, and when they complete that, they report back to the IC or operations and then get a second assignment, or they get to come out and do some rehab or replace bottles or replenish the SCBA bottles. So this is one of the things that it's very common. I know that in some areas of the country, they use like the same thing. 1, 2, 3, 4 side, like that. Again, kind of goes clockwise. Front is 1, 2, 3, 4. Same thing, but it just uses a different designation. Okay, but the communications are critical. I can remember back in time in the early days when we only had 2 portable radios in the 70s. The chief had one, and there was 1 portable radio in the building. The officer on the first engine got it to take. You were in a building, no communications, and it was okay because we didn't know any better at that time. Now everyone has communications. If they run into a problem, they can get on the radio. These radios are really nice because these are multiple bands, and a bandwidth on communications is this high band, which is like in the 150s on the radio communications. They have UHF, which is ultra high frequency, which is in the 450s or greater, 470s like that. And then also some departments in the district are 800s. So this allows them the 3-band radio, tri-band they call it, allows them to go into the 800s. Where years ago, you would carry multiple portables. If you had a high band, you'd have a high band portable and a low band portable on your waist or some common thing. So this standardizes 1 radio, does all 3, and this is probably pretty much what you see. There might be some different makes, but in my experience, the best one to have is the Motorola's. You know what I mean? I'm not a salesperson for Motorola. Just wore them on my hip for many, many years, and always had really good luck in operations with the Motorolas and the different models, everything. So, but the firefighters wear this and then can talk. If someone needs something, they call and ask. And firefighters mostly do the listening unless they need something, and the talking is done from the company officer or the one in charge of the individual piece that, that they're operating. Someone's always in charge of it. But what this does, this ties in the safety. So, and again, this is a few aspects of the safety. And but you can see here, this is this system here is all Velcro-based now. Let's see if some of the other things that we have here. You can, we have, we can't see inside here, but these will come off. Here's a, again, going back to what we talked about before with unified command. We have some accountability tags. If the blue team is with us, this is Hopkinen HPD, okay? And there's one for the HPD command staff, there's three for them, and there's three sergeants. So if we have one of their sergeants that's working with us in the unified command, we can take that off and put that on the board here in the appropriate place for the unified command, and we know who's in charge of that. So that's a really good thing I saw when I opened up this thing here that's a little bit different from what I was doing when we originally had these boards. And in here we have also, there's a lot of, it was magnet-based, and it's color-coordinated here. If you can see into any of these here, here's one here, there's one for, this is the brush equipment is green. This is for brush 11, which is a two-person brush unit in Hopkinton. And there's one for, just an example, brush 6, again, a brush equipment for Hopkinton. And that's the army truck, the 5-ton that you'd see with a big tank in the back that's used to go off-road and fight wildlands fires. Blue are ambulances, EMS. And they also got them in here for the mutual aid ambulances. The color code yellow is used for the for a ladder. And then red is the engine company. So you can use put that next to the accountability tags for mutual aid engine, and you and look at, you can just one more way to help you understand and get it so your board's set up so that you know what's going on in your fire ground. The command one here is of course Chief Doherty, and if the Deputy Chief Jurassic, there's one of these little accountability Velcros is inside the box for the deputy. If he was in charge, he would put you put his tag up there, and it's set up. This is all pre-set up the way the chief wants it, and it's really nice. I smiled when I opened it and saw what he was doing because it made perfect sense to me. I could tell in a second. And I've actually went to off since I retired. I went to one of their calls, and this accountability board, it's got this red base you can see here. It is made to go on a tripod that goes in the street in front of it. I preferred when I was doing it to get my car in close and work out of the back of the car on a little shelf or a table that I had in there. I could set up and run that. And I went to a fire they had down on the south side of Legacy Farms this winter when it was a cold night. And I heard it, don't hear many of them, but I saw a mutual aid company working in to come to cover the station, so I took a ride down there when I found out where it was. And this was set up in the front, right by the driveway of the house with the tripod, and it drew me like a magnet. I could look at it and see within like 20 seconds of evaluating it where the, what was going on, who was where, and it tells you, if you're familiar with it, it tells you a good story in a very, very short amount of time. So that's kind of like, and we talked about before, we talked about the sides. They actually have some magnets here for the sides, the side A, side B, side C, and side D. So it's like you can mark that out on the board here. It allows you to do that up on this part behind that run card. But this is just one way. There's many ways of doing it. This one way that's been very effective in Hopkinton, and I know Milford, and on the south side of the district. I'm not sure if Ashland does these, but I know we did a lot of work. I'd go on a mutual aid fire to Milford, and Chief Tui, either one of them, Chief Taddy, when they started this stuff, I would say, yep, get the board, go. So let them concentrate on the fire instead of having to do both. Personally, this was good. I could do both up until like a second alarm, but once you get above that, the span of control got kind of crazy to be able to do both. So I would assign a chief officer or someone who had experience with these to take over that, and that's just the way that I did it. So it's like, but they're very helpful. You can write on them with the boards. He's got all his crayons and stuff in the bottom. Let me see what else he's got here. Okay, he's just got some check boxes here to go over stuff if you're looking at area, staging area, just general stuff for any fire scene. And it's like, and some you might use and some you can go right by. But it's just something that you can write on. So we talked about the radio communications, and that's critical. Everyone needs that. And I know we're winding down on our time, but I want to thank everyone for listening today. And I just wanted to go over a couple of a question that I had from George in Hopkinton is, how long does it take to train a firefighter? A medic is a year plus, and once someone is hired and goes to the fire academy, that's like up in Stowe for career firefighters, it's 11 weeks. So it's like... That's all we got today. And one last reminder, I really, really enjoy the questions that people send me at the email for this. And again, it's hottopics@hcam.tv. If you have any questions about what we talked about, if you need have any questions on anything fire or EMS-related service that you would like to ask me, or that I can ask on the show at a later date, at an additional show, I'm more than happy to. I just use a first name, so it's almost kind of like anonymous. That way, I would never use your last name to do it. But shoot me an email, ask a question, and then, but I want to thank you for tuning in today, and we're just getting ready to wind down here. And from Hot Topics, thank you very much, and see you at the next episode.